I was still stooped over, crying, when yet another knock came on my cabin door. Attempting to stifle my tears, I turned about to see an old black man who, in the light of the little lantern he was holding, looked like the very imp of death in search of souls. His clothing, what I could see of it, was even more decrepit than the previous sailor's, which is to say, mostly rags and tatters. His arms and legs were as thin as marlin spikes. His face, as wrinkled as a crumpled napkin, was flecked with the stubble of white beard. His tightly curled hair was thin. His lips were slack. Half his teeth were missing. When he smiled, for that is what I assumed he was attempting, he offered only a scattering of stumps. But his eyes seemed to glow with curiosity and were all the more menacing because of it. "Yes," I managed to say. "At your service, Miss Doyle," the man spoke with a surprisingly soft, sweet voice, "and wondering if you might not like a bit of tea. I have my own special store, and I'm prepared to offer some." It was the last thing I expected to hear. "That's very kind of you," I stammered in surprise. "Could you bring it here?" The old man shook his head gently. "If Miss Doyle desires tea, captain's orders, she must come to the galley." "Galley?" "Kitchen to you, miss." "Who are you?" I demanded faintly. "Zachariah," he returned. "Cook, surgeon, carpenter, and preacher to man and ship. And," he added, "all those things to you too, miss, in that complete order if it comes to the doleful need. Now then, shall you have tea?" In fact, the thought of tea was extraordinarily comforting, a reminder that the world I knew had not entirely vanished. I couldn't resist. "Very well," I said. "Would you lead me to the galley?" "Most assuredly," was the old man's reply. Stepping away from the door, he held his lantern high. I made my way out. We proceeded to walk along the passageway to the right, then up the short flight of steps to the waist of the ship, that low deck area between fore and quarter deck. Here and there lanterns glowed. Masts, spars, and rigging vaguely sketched the dim outlines of the net in which I felt caught. I shuddered. The man called Zachariah led me down another flight of steps into what appeared to be a fairly large area. In the dimness, I could make out piles of sails, as well as extra rigging, all chaotic and unspeakably filthy. Then, off to one side, I saw a small room. The old man went to it, started to enter, but paused and pointed to a small adjacent door that I had not noticed. "The head, miss."
"The what?"
"Privy." My cheeks burned. Even so, never have I felt, secretly, so grateful. Without a word, I rushed to use it. In moments, I returned. Zachariah was waiting patiently. Without further ado, he went into the galley. I followed with trepidation, stopping at the threshold to look about.